So today, like I said, is a beautiful, wonderful day, and I'm always excited to be before you to preach the word. And the message that has just been on my heart is wisdom. Get wisdom. I remember when I was a little girl, and my cousin, my dad's cousin, my second cousin, he used to always walk around and he would say, "Get wisdom, get understanding." And he would say it at least 10 times. He would just walk around and he would say, "Get wisdom, get understanding." And as a young girl, I really didn't know what that meant. It wasn't until I started to read the Proverbs and read the Word of God, and once I accepted Christ as my Savior, that I was like, oh, that's what he was talking about. So I guess it was just a precursor that he just needed to say and wanted to say, you know, that God's wisdom is the true wisdom. And that we need to get God's wisdom and God's understanding of how this thing works, right? So we're going to come from Proverbs chapter 1 and the first seven verses, verses 1 to 7. And it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Amen. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent, meaning wise behavior, doing what is right, what is just, and what is fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables and the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So I'm going to tell you this story. It's pretty amazing to me how God put all of the pieces together, which is what he always does. So I have a friend of mine that I went to college with, and her daughter is 24 years old. She moved from California to Texas, and so she is applying right now to medical school. So she made the decision to leave California, go to Baylor University in Texas. So this summer, she was home just to visit her parents, and her brother was getting married as well. But she came home this summer. So it was a hot summer day, and her dad had his shirt off, and he was working in the garden. And she just happened to look at her dad's back. And on her dad's back was a lesion. And she took a picture of the lesion. Now, it just so happens how God puts this together that she is working in a medical clinic in Texas during her gap year, and they specialize in melanoma. So she took a picture of the lesion on her dad's back, who just happened to have his shirt off, and sent it to the physicians that she works with at the clinic in Texas. And the physicians there said, "Your dad needs to get an immediate biopsy." So he called his primary care physician here to get an appointment and to get referred to an oncologist. So as it happened, they couldn't see him for 6 weeks. So the physicians in Texas said, "Oh, just have your dad fly here. We'll take a look at him, and we'll take care of him." So 2 days later, he was in Texas. They did surgery on him to remove the lesion, which turned out it was melanoma. So they said, "We're pretty sure we've got all the margins. Everything looks good. Everything is clear." And then they sent it to the lab, and the lab came back and said, "No, there is still melanoma present." So they said, "Just tell your dad to come back to Texas." So he got on the plane. He flew back to Texas 2 weeks later, he's having the second surgery there. So he has the second surgery, and they get really clear margins this time. So now he's back in California, and he's cancer-free. And that young 24-year-old, wise beyond her years, she didn't think about it. She didn't hesitate. She didn't say, let me get back and see what's going on 2 weeks from now. She said, let me take a picture right this instant and let me send it to people that I know that God just happened to put me in a medical clinic where they're treating melanoma. So God orchestrates our lives that way. Our first point is timeless words of wisdom. Timeless words of wisdom. And that's what the book of Proverbs is. The book of Proverbs is timeless words of wisdom. It concerns the conduct of our life, and it talks about how we need to navigate this life in what is right and what is prudent or what is wise. So the book of Proverbs itself is written by mostly Solomon. Even though we started in Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon probably didn't start his Proverbs until chapter 10. But he and other authors wrote the book of Proverbs. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32 says, but Solomon himself wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. King Solomon wrote over 3,000, which we don't see all of them, but we have the book of Proverbs, we have the book of Ecclesiastes that he did write, and the book of Job in the Old Testament. That are books of wisdom. And then in the New Testament, the book of James is a book of wisdom. So Solomon was in the process of becoming king. And one of his brothers had decided he was going to be the king. And his mother, Bathsheba, went to King David before he passed away and said, didn't you promise me that my son would be the king? And King David said, yes, I did promise that. And so instead of the other brother trying to take over before the dad made the proclamation, King David put his robe on Solomon and had Solomon parade around on a horse and put his signet ring on Solomon, proclaiming that Solomon was the king. So now Solomon is king, and he is just a kid. He's overwhelmed, and he's not sure what he should do. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 to 10, Solomon is before the Lord, and this is what he says. Verse 7, that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want for me to give you. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. And then he says to the Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may lead these people of yours. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And then God responded to Solomon, and God said to him in verses 11 and 12, God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor the death of your enemies. And since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, over whom I have made you king. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. So Solomon, in his humbleness, went before the Lord, and he just asked for knowledge. He didn't ask for all of these other things. The Queen of Sheba and every other ruler around came to Solomon because he was so wise, and they would ask him questions. And the Queen of Sheba said, I heard about what your God has done for you, how your God has given you wealth and wisdom, and how your God has given you gold and possessions, and that God had made Solomon so wealthy, gold was just like, and silver were just like everyday things. It didn't even really have the value that it has today because it was just common. Everything, and many, many people had gold and silver, that God had given him that much. So because Solomon had asked for knowledge and wisdom, God gave him all of the desire that people have, the desires that people have. God gave all of that to him. And sometimes we just really need to stop asking God for so much and just really just ask God to give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to be able to navigate this life. Another woman in 1 Samuel chapter 25 that I want to tell you about who had wisdom was a lady named Abigail. And Abigail had a husband. His name was Nabal. And to let you understand a little something about Nabal, his name meant fool. Nabal was a fool. So King David protected Nabal and all of his men. So when it was time to shear the sheep, David sent word to Nabal and he said, I hear that you are shearing the sheep. And when we were around you and all of your men, we protected them and we made sure that nothing happened to any of your possessions. Can you find it in your heart to send my men some bread, some meat, some wool from your sheep that you're shearing? And Nabal, the fool, said, who is this David? And who is this son of Jesse? So now he's calling David's dad the son of Jesse. So he really did know who David was. And so the servants came to Abigail, the wife, and said, oh my goodness, let me tell you what just happened. David sent his men to your husband to get possessions and food and different things because they protected your husband and your family. And your husband sent David's men away empty-handed. So Abigail understood the repercussions of that and what it meant to her family. So Abigail told the servants quickly, let's prepare some food for King, or he wasn't king yet. Let's prepare some food for David. So she got 200 loaves of bread, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sears of grain, 2 skins of wine, 100 raisin cakes, and 200 fig cakes. And she gets on her little donkey, and she's riding in the direction of David. Well, she meets David in the valley, but David is on his way with 400 of his men to kill Nabal and every single man in his family. But the wisdom of Abigail, when she meets David, she says to him, she gets off of her donkey, she bows down low and says, my Lord, thank you for protecting my family. And if you would just accept from my hands these gifts. My husband's name is Nabal, which means fool. So we're not even concerned about him, but I'm here, my Lord, to please you and to give food to your men. So David, who was coming with his 400 men to take out Nabal's family, Abigail's son, said, "You are just a wise woman. I am so grateful to you that God did not have me to shed blood in your family. Because of the gift that you gave me, I am going to return and I am going to go back. And I am so thankful and so grateful to you for this gift." So then Abigail goes back home and she tells her husband Nabal the next day, because when she got home, he was having a feast and celebrating himself and how great he was. So the very next day, she told Nabal what had happened. And that very instant, he became stone. And then about 10 days later, he passed away. Wisdom is what we ask the Lord for. And God gives wisdom not just to Abigail, but in the Old Testament, we see over and over Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esther, that Pastor Jacob preached about recently, over and over in the Old Testament. And we see Paul and Cornelius and different people in the New Testament. God is the one who gives us wisdom. Wisdom is defined, and I'm going to paraphrase Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. And God's wisdom is the infinite, perfect comprehension of all that is or might be. God is the source of all wisdom. As power and wisdom is given to people through the fear of the Lord. Reverence to the Lord. So God, one of his attributes is wisdom. That's the second point. God is wisdom. He gives us wisdom, but God himself is wisdom. Many times throughout this world, and inexplicable, that word got caught in my throat the last time, inexplicable or unexplained things occur and happen. But as God gives us wisdom, and as we ask him for more and more wisdom, and he gives us wisdom, it helps us to be able to navigate this world that we live in, right? Amen. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all who find fault, and it will be given to you." Sometimes the wisdom of children is even better than the wisdom of adults. So I have a friend, her grandson at the time was 3, he's 4 now. So the preschool teacher gave all of the kids instructions. We are going to make kind of like a mural with everybody's fingerprints on it. So I need all of you to dip your hands in the chocolate, and then I want you to put your fingerprints on the paper. And we're going to put all of the fingerprints in a row, sign your name to it. So the first person, he was 4th in line. The first person and the second person did it correctly. They dipped their hands in the chocolate, and then they put their hands on the paper. The 3rd little girl that was just in front of him dipped her hands in the chocolate, but her wisdom said, "Chocolate is good. And I'm going to eat this chocolate off of my hands. This chocolate is not going to go on the paper." So then my friend's little 3-year-old put his hand on his hip and he said, "What the H-E-L-L?" And he said the word to the little girl. So his wisdom was, you are not following the instructions that the teacher gave us. You are supposed to dip your hands in the chocolate and put them on the paper. So I don't know what's going to happen to this little boy, because he is wise at 3 and 4. But the Lord has his hand on him, and he loves the Lord. His mom, you know, and his grandmother really read the word and the Bible with him. So he'll grow up to have wisdom of God. He's got it now, but he's going to need a little bit more. Now, these are some tips of wisdom that I want to give to you. If you get a Charlie horse, your foot starts to cramp up, just put your foot flat on the ground, and within a few seconds, the Charlie horse will go away, instead of just keeping that cramping for the next 3 or 4 minutes. To avoid a brain freeze, I eat cold stuff on the left side of my mouth. If I eat on the right side of my mouth, I get a brain freeze. But if you eat on the left side of your mouth, I hope this works for you too, I do not get a brain freeze. If you like coffee, which so many people do, I'm a tea drinker myself, but so many people like coffee. If you go to the gourmet specialty coffee store, and you buy that $5 cup of coffee, if every day you go to the coffee store and you get that $5 cup of coffee, it's going to cost you $1,825. If you get that cup of coffee every single day for the next 4 years, it's going to cost you $7,300. So you have to really decide if you want that cup of coffee every single day, because that $7,300 can really do a lot for you, take you on a vacation, buy you whatever you think you might want. But if the coffee is what you want, then go ahead and do the coffee. Once I made a decision in my mind, for a whole year, I'm not going to buy any clothes, nothing. And I did it. It worked. And so when you're looking at your expenses, don't just look at what it costs for that one day. Look at what it's going to cost for the entire year. Word of wisdom. Speak to people with wisdom. Don't just say anything to anybody at any time because that is what is on your mind. Don't do that. Allow people to be wrong. You don't have to have an argument with people about what they said, and this is how I feel about it, so I'm right, so you need to adopt my position. There's so much freedom when you allow people to be wrong. Maybe at some point they'll come to the truth, and maybe not. It's okay. You can go along and have a great rest of your day because you didn't get down in the weeds with someone. If you're going to say something to someone, I'm going to advise you, because wisdom says, close your mouth. If you're going to say something to someone that is going to hurt them, it is not necessary to speak to someone if the words that come out of your mouth, and you know it, is going to hurt that person. Tell the truth. It's so much easier to tell the truth, and then you don't have to remember what lie you told. Be quick to forgive. I know sometimes the Lord has to work with us and work with certain people who say that it's difficult to say, I'm sorry. But have the Lord work with you so you can reach the point where you can say, I'm sorry. I forgive you. Words of wisdom. Live as wise, not as unwise. In the book of Ecclesiastes, which is one of the books of wisdom, J.I. Packer says, Solomon is showing us in the book of Ecclesiastes what wisdom is not, and he is also showing us what wisdom is. Wisdom is fear God and keep his commandments, trust and obey him, reverence him, worship him, be humble before God, and never say more than you mean when you are standing in prayer before the Lord. Do good. Remember that at some point, God is going to judge the words that we spoke, even the words in our heads that we didn't speak, but that are not kind and good words. Live in the present and enjoy it thoroughly. Seek grace to work hard at whatever life calls you to do and enjoy your work as you do it. Leave its issues to God. That stuff at work that you just can't handle and it's driving you crazy, put it in God's hands. Let him measure its ultimate worth. Your part is to use all of the good sense and enterprise at your command and exploiting the opportunities that lie before you. So let's talk about that just a little deeper. Everything in life is not meaningless, as we read the book of Ecclesiastes, and it says, this is meaningless, that's meaningless. But Solomon is trying to help us to understand that everything is not meaningless. Solomon is trying to help us to understand the wisdom of God. And one of the first points is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Love the Lord. Enjoy spending time with the Lord. Don't let the Lord say, I missed you yesterday. I missed my time with you. Where were you? Reverence the Lord. Put him first. Put him on the throne. Let's keep God first and foremost. And then the second thing that God wants us to do, we see in the book of Ecclesiastes, enjoy life. It is a gift that God has given us to enjoy this life. Stop saying woulda, shoulda, coulda. Stop complaining. Stop looking at what happened in the past. Look at what is happening today, right now. Pastor Jason said he enjoys a good party. Let's go to a good party. Let's have the good party if nobody's given a good party. Let's go out to dinner. If you don't want to go out to dinner and you know how to cook, I'm not a great cook, but I can not starve. But for people who are really a good cook, cook a meal. Invite people over to enjoy this great meal with you. Enjoy life. Plan a vacation. Go on vacation. And it doesn't have to be all the way across the country to the East Coast. We have so many places in the state of California that we can go visit. It'll take us a day or two. You know, you don't even really have to take a lot of clothes with you. Just grab a bag and just go and enjoy it. Live your best life today. It is the gift that God has given us to enjoy today. Enjoy tomorrow. Put a smile on your face. Surround yourself with people who love you and people that you love. The third point. So follow the crowd only if they're going in the correct direction. If they are going in the wrong direction, do not follow the crowd. Have wisdom. What does Lucy say? Charlie Brown's sister. What does Lucy say? Lucy said, "I never made a mistake in my life. I thought I did once, but I was wrong." So don't be like Lucy. Don't be like Lucy. Yes, we can be wrong. Yes, we can humble ourselves before other people. Amen. Don't just follow the crowd. Only follow the crowd if they are going in the right direction. Ask Joshua and ask Caleb. They didn't follow the crowd. So the 10 people said, "We can't take the land." But the two, Joshua and Caleb, said, "We can do it. We can take it. Lord, we're following you. So we know that if you're leading us here to take the land, we can do it." Amen. Don't follow the crowd. Wisdom says, don't just follow anything, anyone, anybody. Nowadays, everybody thinks that they have the gift of prophecy. I'm just saying. 1 John 4, 1 and 3 says, "Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. And we know that the test of a spirit," I'm going to tell you what it is, "if they are wrong one time," once, "they are not a prophet." They are just speaking babbling words out of their mouth, and they are just trying to get attention from the crowd who's going to follow them because they're saying these crazy things, right? And can I just say that the word Christian is enough? There's no adjective behind Christian. There's no noun behind Christian. It's just Christian, period. That's it, just Christian. That's enough. We don't have to update the word. It speaks for itself. It's more than enough. Can you be a Christian if you don't desire the things that Jesus Christ desires? Hatred, evil. How many of you know or knew that Billy Graham was a Democrat? And in this church, you can be a Republican or you can be a Democrat. Nobody cares about that. But we need to not follow the crowd and focus on Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36 says, "When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I needed clothes, you clothed me. When I was sick, you came to visit me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And when I was sick, you took care of me." So those are the values that God wants us to have. I'm going to give you this last piece of wisdom. And this last piece of wisdom says, stay woke. And let me explain to you what the real stay woke really meant. I don't know what they're saying about the word today, but let me tell you what the word means. It means back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, we can say whatever decade, when African American people were in the community and people would say, for your safety, be aware of what is going on around you so that you can make sure you make it back home safely. That's what the word woke means. In the year 2025, the word means for like-minded people, I can wear a green and an orange whistle, and I can blow that whistle to warn you that stranger danger is right down the street. And if I blow that whistle, maybe you need to run and hide so that you are protected and that your life is okay. The time is coming, and maybe the time is here right now. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to say. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the time that we live in. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Parishioners and pastors are using AI to write sermons. Never in this church is that going to happen. We are listening to the Holy Spirit give us the word that he wants us to say to you. Amen. We will never write a sermon through AI. I even heard the words of the Bible change saying, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was a created process. What? The word was God. But when you have this Bible, they can't change the words.
That's right.
Because you have a hard copy in your hand.
Amen.
And if they change the words, you can just open it and flip to the pages and see what the truth is and what it says.
Amen.
The Lord says, hide the words in your heart. Hide the words of God in your heart. Charles Spurgeon says, discernment or wisdom is not a matter of simply telling the difference between right and wrong. Rather, it is telling the difference between right and almost right. Right and almost right. The almost right is flawed and it's not correct. Don't follow the crowd. Use the wisdom that God gave. And the Lord said the very elect would not be deceived.
Amen.
So we can praise and trust the Lord for that. Have we reached the point? Are we reaching the point of the great apostasy? Are we reaching that point where the church turns away from the Lord and they start changing the word Christian into something that it's not? That they start getting teachers who have their itching ears saying what they just want to hear? Following the false prophets who are not speaking the word of God and truth? No one knows the day or the hour that Jesus is coming. Matthew 24, 8, 10, and 12 says, are we at, verse 8, the beginning of the birth pains? I don't know. The Lord knows. But look at some of the things that are occurring and happening around us. The Lord is giving us wisdom to have discernment to see what is going on. Verse 10, at that time, many will turn away from the truth and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Do you know that today, people are having conversations with ChatGPT as though they're having a conversation with God? There's even an AI Jesus. Lord, help us. Because the elect cannot be deceived. I even have a friend's daughter, and she did not give me permission to use her name, so I won't. She went to visit her physician, and her physician, while she's sitting in the doctor's office, looks up on his cell phone to find out what her symptoms were, asked ChatGPT what was wrong with her. Didn't you go to medical school? And ChatGPT was wrong. So her symptoms were worse than when she went in there. Matthew 24, last scripture, 32 and 33. Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender, and leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all of these things, you know it is near, right at the door. Use wisdom and use discernment. God is still in control. He always has been, and he always will be. Proverbs 1 and 7, the beginning of wisdom is knowledge. It comes from God. The fear of the Lord is what gives us wisdom. Heavenly Father, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is our knowledge that comes straight from you. But Lord, you said when the fig tree buds and you start to see some of these signs and some of these things occurring, be aware of what is occurring around us. Lord, we're going to keep our hearts and our minds and our eyes focused on you and on you alone. Lord, you will not give us a counterfeit. Lord, we can count on you. We always have and we always will. And we just thank you, Lord, every single day that you walk with us, that you let us see the things that we need to see. Lord, that as we ask you for wisdom, you give us wisdom. So, Lord, let us never stop asking you to open our eyes so that we can see, to open our ears, Lord, so that we can hear, and to speak when you give us the opportunity to speak, to tell someone about you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.